The show's brought to you exclusively by the law firm Kondori & Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan, and we are pleased right now to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, our good buddy, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Bill is back on the program for one last ride this season after week 18 in that final game, a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
What's going on? Good. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Congrats on the dub, getting to 5-12 at the end of the season. You know, Danny and I, we're sitting here, we're fans, so we were kind of hoping for the draft positioning, but I know you guys work your butts off. You don't care about that, so congrats. Well earned. Well earned.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so we've got to start with the news of the day. You know by now, Cliff Kingsbury, your offensive coordinator, and the team mutually agreed to part ways. What did you make of hearing that news?
I was like, dang. That's all I could say, to be honest. I feel like that's above my pay grade to be, like, just questioning things. So, you know, I trust it.
Did you have a feeling things were coming down the pike? Like, you're inside the building. Did you expect Cliff to be back? Did you know anything wasn't copacetic? Or what did you kind of experience?
Oh, well, I definitely expected him to be back. But, I mean, I guess that's just how the business goes. And I'm just learning as we go how things work.
How did you find out?
I got on Twitter, and that was, like, one of the first things I seen.
Oh, okay, so you found out like we did. You didn't get a text from Cliff or anything saying, hey, I'm not coming back.
Found out on the internet.
Wow. And have you reached out to him just to wish him luck or anything yet, or is that something you'll do down the road?
Maybe down the road. Just let everything settle in right now for him.
What was your relationship like with Cliff, and what did you just think of him as a OC and as a play caller?
My relationship, we had a good relationship. We'll see each other, you know, chop it up, talk ball, and I feel like it was always a good relationship since the day I met him. So, like, we had a pretty solid relationship for sure.
Bill, how was he helpful to you in developing into a pro, and, you know, some of the skills and things that you worked on as the season progressed?
How was he helpful to me?
Yes.
I would say just put me in the best position, like, to be the best version of myself.
Ja'Cory,
kind of helped me out in that area.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us on Grant and Danny. It's Bill time on G&D after a Commanders win over the Eagles. News of the day today that Ja'Cory's OC and play caller after the last 2 years here in D.C., Cliff Kingsbury, is leaving the organization. In fact, defensive coordinator Joe Witt, just getting in the car, was fired today as well. So some major changes to the Washington coaching staff. As far as what comes next, what kind of OC would you want to see hired? Like, what are you hoping for as a running back, as a player on this team, in the way of scheme or philosophy moving forward?
Just looking forward to be in space a lot. That's what I see.
I was going to ask, is that something that you were kind of frustrated by maybe at any point, that wasn't happening a lot? That for you as someone that's so shifty and so good with the ball in his hands, I'd love for you to be in space more too. I'd love to see what that looks like. It didn't feel like that happened consistently. Was that a source of frustration at all?
No, I don't really think I caught myself getting frustrated, because I'm just a rookie. Like, I'm still learning as we go, and I don't have, like, really no say-so or anything like that. So I'm just going with it and just trusting the plan.
You're a rookie. You're not allowed to be frustrated, I guess.
Right.
Although, but when you say in space, are you talking about how you're used in the run game, like outside the tackles? Are you talking about throwing you the ball on screens? Like, what do you even mean by that?
It could be anything, yeah. I can want to catch the ball, definitely want to work on that, Well, not work on it, but definitely want to do that to show I could, and just not limit myself like to just running the ball in between the tackles or outside. So just getting in space.
What are you planning this offseason as it pertains to, you know, pass blocking, pass catching, like third down stuff to just become more of an all down back? How will you go about working on that? What kind of either drill work or plan are you going to put together? Have you started thinking about that yet?
Oh yeah, I already have a off season plan, and like I just gotta attack it, and like I wanna be on the field not only on first and second down, but on passing downs too, on catching downs where you gotta catch it out the backfield, and I think we'll start to do more of that, and just add that to be a part of my game.
Bill, you guys get to play a game at the highest level, right? It's something you've always dreamed of, and I'm sure it's amazing day in and day out. But this is the other side of it, right? Where it is a business, and it can be a really, really harsh one at times. What advice and kind of what thoughts did some of the vets share with you about that? Maybe it's the season wasn't going according to plan.
Like, man, this the NFL, bro. Like, everybody that had been through a kind of an up and down season, and that was like, bro, that's how I go, bro. Like, everything's not going to go your way, and you just gotta stay focused and just trust the process, and just gotta keep coming out there and fighting each game, because I think who started like 0-3? Someone started 0-3 and like just went on like an 8-game winning streak. So I mean, you just gotta keep your head down for real.
All right, Bill. Before we let you go, I want to look ahead to the playoffs in the NFC. Obviously, you guys don't get to play all of these teams, but you've got some familiarity. You played some of them. The Packers, the Bears, the Rams, the Panthers, the Niners, the Eagles, among those that are playing this weekend, who's your pick to come out of the NFC? Who do you think has the best chance to make a run for a Super Bowl?
Oh, I would say maybe the Rams.
Ooh, interesting.
I would say maybe the Rams. Who would you say?
I like the Rams, too.
The Rams are good. I think they're going to beat Carolina. I've got them losing after that. I'm going to roll with San Francisco, I think. The winner of that 49ers-Eagles game, I think, goes on a run.
Okay. That's not a bad take at all.
Nobody mentioned Seattle, by the way, Bill. They were pretty good. They were pretty impressive to me. Is that the best team that you guys faced this year, do you think?
The best team I think I faced personally was maybe a healthy Packers defense, maybe.
Yeah, they were unreal. Thursday Night Football in Week 2, they looked different. They ended up almost missing the playoffs, by the way. It's such a funny league.
Yeah, so that's why I said a healthy team.
Yeah.
Those guys, there was I'll say them and maybe Seattle.
All right, cool. You going to be watching, or are you the kind of guy after the end of the season that you kind of get away from football, or are you going to lock in on the playoffs?
I'll tune in here and there. I'll definitely be watching them.
I heard Cousins a big Jags fan. He's got a Trevor Lawrence jersey.
Is that true?
Oh, that's 100% not true.
Oh, really?
100%.
Cousins a Jags mark. He said Liam Cohen can draw it up.
Nah.
Not so much.
Cousins don't. Nah, I'm just
there. He doesn't mess with them. Do you play Madden at all?
I don't.
Did you ever?
Not really. I never was that good at it, so.
I would start to play if I was in the game. That's just how I view it.
You got
to
use yourself.
You know what I mean? Like, I would give the ball to me.
No, I never, like, since I'm not that good and I just don't play because I hate losing, so it just make me mad.
Well, Bill, it's been fun catching up with you all year, buddy. You should be very proud of yourself, leading rookie running backs and rushing touchdowns, being in the top 5 in yards among rookie backs this season. For a 7th-round pick, pretty incredible. Great starting point for your career. Thanks for hopping on with us and joining us throughout
y'all.
The season.
Thank you, Bill.
Someone say they heard my voice, and I called up to the bank, and I was like, I know your voice from the Grant and Danny radio show. That was pretty cool.
Wait.
They said, hold on, is this Bill?
Wait, they recognize your voice from that?
Yes, that's hilarious.
Yes, I was calling up to the bank, and I was like, hold on, is this Bill?
So you called the bank just to like do banking
on the radio show.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
They just heard your voice and picked it up from listening to the show.
They heard my voice. All right,
we got to shout them out. So the banker that talked to Bill and listens to the show, we appreciate you. That's pretty incredible. Good to hear from them. All right, Bill, be good.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Yeah, Thanks, buddy. What a guy. Ja'Cory Krosky, Bill, on Grant and Danny. How about this breaking news in the NFL? The list has grown from 6 coaches.
How about this
who
one?
Have been ousted to 7 openings now.
Who would have thought that Tyler Loop would send the whole coaching cycle for a loop with his missed field goal at the end of Sunday Night Football? John Harbaugh fired by the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens now looking for a head coach. John Harbaugh out on the market. I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on The Fan.
Wow. That's the second longest tenured head coach in the NFL behind Mike Tomlin, who I don't think is a lock, by the way, after this weekend when they likely lose in the playoffs to the Texans. To keep his job. It's very possible that the Steelers and Mike Tomlin part ways as well. Harbaugh's probably going to get a gig right now.
6-15 winning percentage lifetime.
Yeah.
That don't grow on trees, dude.
So I think Stefanski as a retread gets a job in this cycle. He's interviewing with the Giants tomorrow. I think John Harbaugh gets a job right away in this cycle. At least those two guys probably do, and there might be others. But John Harbaugh out in Baltimore. By the way, Todd Monken, their OC today, was given permission to interview for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job. So they are going in a very different direction. To me, this seemed like a no-brainer. When you started to see that anti-Lamar Jackson reporting out of Baltimore for the first time ever, there are leaks out of that building. It became
something's rotten.
A little bit like a head coach or quarterback. And it would have been asinine and ridiculous and an outrage, respectfully to John Harbaugh, if they chose him over Lamar Jackson. I mean, that would have been utterly preposterous. So if it really is a souring relationship, if it really has gotten to a point where you know, they started to turn on Lamar as a staff and just didn't know if they could win the championship with him because of the work he puts in and how he takes care of himself and his body, then you know what? Okay, we got to choose between the two of you. Pretty easy choice. Thank you for your time, John Harbaugh. 18 seasons, a 180 and 113 record, 13 playoff wins, and a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
This is one of those, when you dismiss a guy, you put out the nice statement about how much you love him, how much he meant to you, what he did for your organization. It's thank you. It's not, there's the door.
So a couple of my in-laws
seems like you're surprised by
this. I am. So this was one, I mean, again, I'm always last. I'm always the guy that's a lifer there, that's won the Super Bowl, that's incredible.
To me, this felt like a lock when they lost the way they did the Steelers. I mean the loop kick, but they just didn't play that game
No,
well.
They didn't. And they've been sloppy, frankly, all year long. They lost a bunch of games they shouldn't have.
Team that shouldn't have been as bad as it was.
Yeah.
Every year they're in the playoffs. You know, he did win a Super Bowl. But in the Lamar Jackson era, they have been really good. And, like, a couple things haven't gone their way to get to or win the Super Bowl. And this year you didn't even make the playoffs. So it was clearly going in the wrong direction.
When they've got their pieces, they win double-digit games. Until this year, right? This is the first time that that's happened under his watch. They've had two nonsensical, crazy, injury-plagued, everything-went-wrong type years, a 5-11 season back in 2015, and then kind of this year where they just couldn't get right. No matter what, one step forward, it was three steps sideways, one step back, a trapdoor, et cetera. It just felt like these are the, you know, them and the Steelers are doing the Spider-Man meme. Like, no matter what, this is the guy. We are stable. Look how stable we are. Our GM that was here forever handed it off to the next guy that's going to be here forever. We'll have two GMs in our you know, organization's history, and that'll last us 70 years. It's always how it felt to me, that this was just noise, this was smoke, this was dissatisfaction from a year. They'd retooled and kind of run it back, and we'd be doing Harbaugh and Tomlin shtick for the next 20 seasons. So I know a lot of my Baltimore friends and some of my family, my in-laws are Baltimore fans. They were actually saying that this was possible, and they were calling for it, and I kind of went, yeah, okay. Harbaugh will be on the sideline next year doing his thing. And so I am pretty surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's one of the worst-kept secrets in the league, frankly. You know, when you talk about the decision coming. We didn't know if it was going to go this quickly or if he was going to be out or not. But I think this was the thought. And the same with Tomlin in Pittsburgh. And it's a little harder when you make the playoffs. But if they lose a 27-10 game and just look bad doing it against the Texans, I'm telling you, we might be having the same conversation about Mike Tomlin. So it's crazy. Everyone said this was going to be a lighter cycle because of the options that are out there, and we're at 7 again. One more dismissal. Tomlin, Bowles steps away, whatever it is. a quarter of the league's coaches are out in a year where we said it wasn't going to be a big cycle of openings. This is what happens.
Yes, it does.
It's such a not-for-long league. Where does Harbaugh end up? Cardinals, Falcons, Browns, Raiders, Giants, Titans.
Should be either the Giants or Titans to me. I think the Giants go offensive.
Like, to me, Stefanski, if he wants that job, will get that job. I'm going to say Stefanski to the Giants. What about
Atlanta?
I could see it, definitely.
Because, again, it's not the ideal setup, offensive mind, yada, yada, yada. This is a dude with a kind of like supersedes the what's your specialty. My specialty is being in charge of a really good organization winning a bunch of games.
I'm going to say Harbaugh to the Cardinals. Go out on a limb a little bit.
I smell what you're cooking there.
Cleveland Browns would make sense, but it's in the division. Does he want to go there?
Far be it for me to tell you that Arizona's the pinnacle of consistency and a model organization, but I think it's buyer beware going to Cleveland.
He's a good coach.
He really is. Like, I don't know how anybody with a track record going to Cleveland, I just couldn't see it happening.
Luke's in Waldorf on G&D. What's up, Luke?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Listen, well, we just got rid of two coordinators, and with this news, tell Dan Quinn, thank you, we see you later, bring Harbaugh to D.C. now. How you going to fire a two-time Super Bowl champion? Are they crazy? Bring him to D.C. Let's go.
So this does happen, by the way, where maybe you're not a fit anymore. Maybe your messaging has gotten stale.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't coach anymore. Like, if the Steelers and Tomlin go in separate directions, I'll say the same thing about him. I think they should move on from him, by the way. I really do. Also, a team should definitely bring Mike Tomlin in. I would love for him to coach my team. I feel that way about John Harbaugh. I feel that way about Kevin Stefanski. He's a good coach. Is John Harbaugh a better head coach than Dan Quinn? I would say yes, by the way. I think he is a significant upgrade over Dan Quinn. It doesn't work that way. That's not what you do. You don't fire a guy right now in Quinn to go get John Harbaugh when you've already decided he's staying. But I feel that way about Kevin Stefanski. Like, if you're asking me just sight unseen, who would you rather have as your head coach? Stefanski, who's available and would take this job because of Jaden Daniels, I'm sure. Or Dan Quinn, I would rather have Stefanski.
There's a lot of guys I'd rather have.
That are available right now?
Well, that list is a little short.
My list that's available is Stefanski and Harbaugh for sure. Are there more than that?
No.
But, it's not realistic and it's not happening.
No, but... Yeah, I mean, we always talk about time and a place, too, of where an organization is. So, for example, the Virginia Tech hire. If you're LSU, you shouldn't be barking down the James Franklin tree. If you're Virginia Tech, where you got like one winning season the last handful of years and you're looking to get back to legitimacy, that's a slam dunk. If you are an Arizona, a Cleveland, an Atlanta to a degree, or the Giants or whomever, that's exactly who you should be calling, right? But if you're a team trying to go over the top, it may not be, if Tomlin loses his gig, the right thing for you, et cetera. But if you'd like someone to build some consistency, be the modicum of accountability and setting expectations a certain way and having his message resonate for a while, both of those guys that mirror each other in the AFC North would be great hires for you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the decision from the Ravens. I think both are true. This is the right move for Baltimore, in my opinion. And also, he's a really good coach that should get another job. But he'd been there since 08. You know, they won their Super Bowl in 2012, the year Robert Griffin was a rookie. They have not won a Super Bowl since. They've been to the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years before this year. And it was kind of close, no cigar kind of deal where it just, you know, they were always one or two plays away.
Bad performances a couple times, too, where they were the one seed. They were upset. Tennessee got them when they got red hot, if you recall. They lost that game to Kansas City where they decided to try to be different than they were for whatever reason.
That's by far the best opening now with an MVP quarterback in Lamar.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I mean, does Cliff get a call there? Would that be something he could interview for as a guy that coaches running quarterbacks?
If I'm Cliff's agent, 1-800 Ravens are on.
Oh, he and everybody else want that. You know, him, Dable, all those guys, I'm sure.
And my guy Cliff can adopt a Baltimore accent with his deep voice. He'll fit right in.
Who's the fit for the Ravens? I mean, they don't go defensive or special teams again, right? You don't fire Harbaugh. Like, the relationship had fractured with your quarterback. I think that relationship's pertinent. You got to go with a play caller, I would think. But I don't know who that would be at this point. All right, let's get back into the Commanders next. We got our own business to tend to here. Should Jaden Daniels have any input in who the next offensive coordinator is to replace Cliff Kingsbury? And should the team have cared that he endorsed Kingsbury, that his mom, who's also an agent of sorts for Daniels, came out to say that she wanted Cliff Kingsbury back for year three. G&D on the Fan.
I mean, I love working with Cliff. You know, me and him have a special relationship. You know, we kind of built that over these past 2 years. And, you know, I kind of just wish I was out there more to play for him this past year. So, I mean, that's kind of the focus for me in this offseason.
Jaden Daniels talking Cliff Kingsbury. He and Cliff had a very close relationship. Worked very tightly together over the last couple of years. They're early risers who get to the facility first. Cliff's like a get-to-work at 3:35 in the morning guy. He and Jaden, you saw it on Hard Knocks, I think, actually, but they have this thing they do in the bubble together where they, you know, walk and go through all of the different plays for practice ahead of time and both watch the tape and would text each other all hours of the night and kind of football junkies. They had a really, really good rapport. Yesterday, Daniels was asked about Kingsbury, and as the franchise quarterback said, he wanted him here. Now, Joe Burrow, as an example, in Cincinnati, who is a former MVP-type player, I don't think he's won one yet, but like has had that MVP season a couple years ago, and who has been in a Super Bowl and is considered a Mount Rushmore top four guy in the league right now. It's been said that the reason Zach Taylor is with the Bengals is that he went to ownership and basically said, I want Zach Taylor here. That's my guy. I don't want him going anywhere. They didn't want to ruffle Burrow's feathers. They kept Zach Taylor. I don't know that Daniels went to Josh Harris and the ownership group. I doubt he did. He's only in his second year. He's coming off of a disappointing season. But he publicly, when asked about it, endorsed Cliff Kingsbury to stay. Beyond that, and I always provide the caveat, Danny, that I don't love bringing like players, families, and stuff into it, but this is a different beast. Jaden Daniels' mom, who's involved in his representation and who, you know, does public appearances and stuff as like a celebrity, like fan of the team and mother of the player, she tweeted just 2 days ago after we heard that there was a dispute between the GM and Kingsbury and they were at odds. She came out and said, headed in the right direction, reposting after the win in week 18. Let's go, exclamation points, officially loading JD5 Cliff Kingsbury season 3. That was a pretty clear endorsement that I want him back, that my son presumably wants him back, that the Jaden Daniels camp is saying, let's go, Cliff Kingsbury's our guy. We already knew that they were really close. Cliff, I've been told all along, was maybe the biggest supporter of Jaden's in the building before the draft as well, was hugely an endorser of bringing Jaden Daniels in here. Then you had the report today, to just further set this up, from Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports. Sources, my understanding is that key Commanders offensive players, including quarterback Jaden Daniels, are disappointed with the team's decision to part ways with Cliff Kingsbury. Daniels vouched for him to stay in his presser on Monday and was among those blindsided by the move. Offensive players on the team figured the only way Kingsbury would be gone is if he got a head coaching job. So I present all of that to set this up to ask, does it matter to you guys that Daniels is apparently frustrated by this decision, yes or no? 800-636-1067. Should he have had a say in whether Kingsbury stayed or went as a soon-to-be third-year quarterback who looks like the face of the franchise? And should he be involved or have a say in who they bring in here next as the OC to call plays for him? 800-636-1067.
So to me, it's a data point. And I don't know when this crosses over into that's just what we're going to do. I don't have a hard and fast rule on that. And I wish I did. I wish I had a stronger take. I would take an under advisement, but it would not be a governing factor.
Would you
for me
seek him out to talk to him? You're Adam Peters. You're Dan Quinn. You're sitting down today to make this big decision. Would you go to Jaden and say, hey, what do you think? Privately, I don't care what you said at the press conference yesterday. I want to know, what are Cliff's strengths? What are his weaknesses? What do you like? What don't you like? What would you change? Because if you go to him and he backs him and you know he's ride or die and then you don't do it, that probably doesn't feel great to him either.
No. So, but it's also, you know, that borders on trotting candidates for the defensive coordinator job past the defensive coordinator while he's still in his office. You know what I mean? You don't want to go behind the back too many times of guys that might get fired and figure out what people think about them. Like, there's got to be a happy medium there.
When it's mutual,
yeah,
there is interest in Cliff in operating anyway. Like, they knew on the inside this was coming, in other words.
Yeah.
They knew this meeting was coming, that it may end this way, that it was very possible he was leaving. I don't think it would have been out of bounds, for, especially after that presser when he said what he did or didn't say yesterday, for him to go to Daniels to just get some input before the meeting where they were going to determine his
fate. Yeah, so I'm going to use the exit interviews, the conversations I have as, you know, part of my data set in terms of it, but there is a time when a quarterback reaches that superhuman, super saiyan, whatever you want to call it, level, where I go, if he wants him, that's who's here. He's not there, and
so
it's not his
Mahomes
fault.
Mahomes says, I want Matt Nagy brought back in to be the OC, you go.
Then I go, okay.
You would give him that input.
When you are on the discussion list of the greatest of all time, then you've got more outsized input. It's about making you happy and rival. I'll try to present my case otherwise, but you know, having him be disgruntled torpedoes everything. So I don't know that I would 100% do that, but again, it would be a far more weighted data point than this one would be. It's not to diminish what Jaden Daniels has done already and what I think he will do, but the analogy I used when we were talking about this before the show, you know, hours ago, is my 12-year-old son doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. He hasn't experienced all the different things. When he tells me his preference, I'll say, thank you, but you're not having donuts for dinner. I know why you don't yet. Daniels hasn't had multiple different systems at this level, hasn't had, gone through this cycle, et cetera. It hasn't had four different OCs in however many years or whatever. That's probably to the good, by the way. But maybe a new system would be great for you. Might also be terrible. We don't know. But I want to hear from him. I want to hear about his experiences, et cetera. And I also need to know that if I'm going to make this move, I've got a better option for him, whether he knows it yet or not.
It's also really hard for players, in my experience, seeing how this works, to not allow relationships to infiltrate their thinking on who they want to stay and go. And that's not a anti-player thing. That's anything. If CK came to you to get your input on continuing to do the show with me or not, positively or negatively, depending on the day, perhaps, mm-hmm. like our relationship would be a factor in your answer to that. It's not black and white. It's not easy. If you really like Toby and he goes, hey, how do you like Toby in that role? Do you want to keep working with Toby or should we move him to this show? I would go, oh, I love Toby. Of course I want Toby. If it's someone you don't know, you can give them, you know, an honest evaluation. Right. Players are buddies. Players are friends. And in this case, I think Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury have a really close, really tight relationship. The maturation necessary for you to feel that way about someone and to still not endorse them would be pretty insane, no? And so I bring that up to say, like, Aaron Rodgers is a great example of this. How many times are you going to go get Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and, like, let's just get the band together. Let's bring all these dudes in here because these are my buddies with the Jets. Like, that's what he did as a GM. Guys that make you feel comfortable. You see it with coaches all the time. So that's why I don't really do the quarterbacks get up much of a say thing. But I do find the backdrop so interesting and so fascinating right now that Daniels is going into this vital year three, this absolutely critical third season, and he's going to have to learn a new offense. And he basically asked for that continuity to keep his guy, and you said no. And if they're as tight as it's always been said that, you know, that my perception is and what I've been told is actually the case behind the scenes with those two, that they're like, you know, maybe closest confidants in the building in terms of like the hours they put in and when they're there and mm-hmm. how they go about it. You saw their little walkthrough on Hard Knocks. I'm sure Jaden's going to be just fine. He's a big boy. He's not the first guy to have to learn a new offense. But I just wonder how frustrated he will be by this decision.
Yeah, especially with the timing of with the last 48 hours, I've already made my... unbeknownst to me, somebody stuck a mic in my face and I said, I like this guy. He's that dude. I really like working with him. I learned a lot. And then he's gone. It just
doesn't look good.
It doesn't look great.
Well, and the mom's tweet, man. I keep bringing this up because I really believe this was a significant thing. To go out of your way mm-hmm. when the public story is coordinator versus GM and take a side of the coordinator shortly before he's the dismissed, was a choice. I mean, literally, you had the choice to send a tweet about Cliff, which you've never done before, I don't think.
Right.
And it wasn't, can't wait for JD5's year three. You know, season three for Jaden loading. It was season three for Jaden and Cliff loading. It would have been weird, maybe, even if the report hadn't already dropped that he might be out. But you wouldn't have maybe thought much of it. because it was one day after a report that they may not bring him back, it was clearly taken, as it should have been, very obviously as an endorsement and as a attempt to say they should bring Cliff Kingsbury back for year three. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Imagine if the agent of Caleb Williams said that, and then they fired Matt Eberflus or what. Like, that would be a story. And that's essentially what happened with Daniels and with his mom, Ms. Jackson, on social media.
It's again, it's not a regular, I don't know how to say it. It's like when we used the example yesterday, but both roommates at the same time said, it's not as if Sam Cosby's mom was like, I'm excited for next year for Sammy. You know, this is different.
And Bobby Johnson.
Yeah.
But if she's like, year three of Sam Cosby and Bobby Johnson.
And Bobby Loading, I guess. Yeah, but this is the de facto agent, or at least part of the management team for the quarterback, who's got outsized importance in the organization. So, yeah, it is certainly not nothing. It's just, it's not a foot-in-the-mouth thing. They're not involved in the decision-making process of who the OC is. But to basically go, I stand by this product, 40 seconds later, there's a recall on the product. It just doesn't look great. You know, and again, it's not their fault, talking about Daniels' camp there, he and his mom. But it just, I'd be a little bit miffed if that was the case, right, as to how it happened, just again, because of the timing.
All right, so let's hit the phones on this next. 800-636-1067. The question for you guys is, should Daniels have input on whether Kingsbury came back or not? He wanted him back. And should he have input on who the next OC is? I actually feel more likely to say yes to the second one than the first one. In other words, keeping Cliff or not, I'm less inclined to say he should have much to do with. But the relationship he's going to have with this next coordinator is so paramount. And this third year for him is so significant that I do think you want him on the same page with whoever this OC is going to be. So that he should be involved in the process in some capacity. He's not getting to pick the person,
right,
but I would want him involved in whoever's coming in here next. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny. Thank you, John Carlson. Carly scored a goal last night. Empty netter, end of the evening. Capitals got a big 2 points.
That was a sweet one.
Home at Capital One Arena. Yeah, that's not easy, man.
From far away, a little bit of an angle, a little bit of a curt.
Length of the ice. His teammates, you could tell, were pretty fired up for him. Not as excited as Justin Sortif was, as he should have been, after his third goal for his first career hat trick. That was legit jubilation you don't really see from a pro athlete very much.
That was really cool.
Giddiness.
I mean, tap dancing. Like, this is a random memory, but there's a moment on Seinfeld when Elaine Bennis's character wasn't in, like, an episode or two. And she came in like after a few episodes, and they're all like so legitimately excited to see her that the cast reaction was genuine. She does kind of this tap dance thing with her arms in the air, this big jubilant face where she kind of surprised everybody. It looked like that. That's what it reminded me of.
Should Jaden Daniels have a say in what the Commanders do next at OC, and should he have had a say in if Cliff was retained or not? That is the question. I am saying yes to the second one, minimally. I want him to have conversations with, and I want maybe some interactions between the candidates and Daniels, not unlike, you know, pre-draft or something like
sure.
that. To the Kingsbury one, no, I would have made that decision without him. I don't think, with their relationship as strong as it was, like, he could have given you an honest eval, and he just hasn't been around the block enough to see what else is out
there. Yeah, not his fault, by the way. I'm not holding that against him. I'm just saying I'm not weighing it as heavily as I would for Pat Mahomes or, you know, Brady in his prime, et cetera.
But if I'm sitting down with Daboll and I'm sitting down with Tommy Rees, you know, I wouldn't mind zooming in Jaden Daniels for 10, 12 minutes and then afterwards saying, hey, what'd you think of that? What do you think of his plan for you? What do you think of the way they want to use you, the stuff they like from a quarterback run standpoint and the stuff that they don't? Let's go to Lewis in D.C. What's up, Lewis? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, no, I don't think he should have any say in it. You know, players play, coaches coach. Obvious, you know, Cliff was good last year. He wasn't great. And it seemed like to me, from watching what I saw, they learned him. They figured him out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was, they pretty much got it. Was like, hey, we need something different. You know, think of it like this. An offensive coordinator can draw up a play. How many plays did the players have to do something extra to get it done? And that's what we saw last year. A lot of extra to make that play, make things happen.
So, for sure. But there was some pretty well schemed stuff too. I mean, there were some, you know, receivers running free and some wrinkles and cool things on offense where they'd come out on a scripted drive to open a game and they'd have eight different, you know, personnel groupings and variations of, you know, nice broken down things after the game where we're looking at designs and, you know, how well he did this, and they didn't have the same look twice in the first 22 plays. I mean, he did a really, really good job. Daniels deserves a ton of credit. Everybody does for what happened in year one. But I do believe on a very short list, if there's like a podium with three guys, like Kingsbury gets his music played too. I mean, he was really significant in the NFC Championship game run a year ago. And it didn't work as well this year. And I think you're probably right. And it seems like Dan Quinn would agree that maybe they did get solved some this season. That has long been a thing for Kingsbury, the Cliff, like the idea of when they adjust, can you adjust back? Azeen in D.C., how are you? Azeen, you there? Let's go to...
Sorry, I'm on mute. I was on mute.
Okay. You can't be on mute. Hey. That doesn't help.
It really is hard. It hurts the chance.
It makes it hard to hear you.
It's harder, yeah.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. I agree with you, Grant. Like, leave him involved in, like, what's going on. I just want them to be transparent with Jaden. I don't... That doesn't mean he needs to have a big voice in what's going on, but... You should keep him in the know. Don't leave him in the dark. Like these reports circulating that he was blindsided by this. I mean, he's so important to us. Like he needs to be on good terms with the coaches, the organization people, the owner. Like just keep him in the know about what's going on and be transparent. But that doesn't mean he needs to, you know, have a big voice. You know, if they have a chance to get Kevin Stefanski and he wants to keep Cliff, then you got to do what you think is best. You know.
So I don't hate that viewpoint. So you don't,
I like it.
Well, you don't have the foot in the mouth situation. Again, you can't always broadcast and let people know before it happens. Like, hey, we're going to let go of this guy, so don't say anything stupid, because that's not how anything works. But keeping him in the loop so you don't have, again, it sounds like I'm criticizing him. Not at all. Oh, he was asked a question. What do you think of Cliff Kingsbury? I like him. And then 24 hours later, the guy's let go. Just so you avoid those kind of awkward moments where you're putting him in a bad spot. I don't think that's crazy.
Well, the relationship with him is so important. We've seen it. Here,
sure.
With quarterbacks. I mean, you just, like, everyone's got the ego you're trying to placate. Like, I do think that there is a fine line, though, because everyone gets worried about, like, oh, let's not baby the guy, or let's not go too far. You know, we don't need to be paying for the honeymoon, Dan Snyder, you know, all of that stuff. I agree. Like, there's a line here. I don't think you're crossing it if you're just involving him in the process to try to set him up for the most success possible. With the most important hire of the offseason and the biggest decision you're going to make. Everything about this offseason should be about getting Daniels back to playing like an MVP.
And then some,
we'll let you hear what Dan Orlovsky had to say about the significance of that OC hire looming for Washington. He went hard in the paint on ESPN. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. On tomorrow's show at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz, we'll be giving away another pair of Capitals tickets to their January 13th game. It's a bobblehead game, and Montreal is in town, so plenty of reasons to want to go. Dylan Strome bobbleheads to be given out, so make sure you're listening. Tomorrow at 4, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we're brought to you by Condorian Murat.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condorian Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Really nice Army-Navy quarter zip that you're wearing. Red.
Remember this one we got?
I do.
Yeah.
Sleek.
It's comfortable. It's toastier than you'd think.
It's very warm. It's warm. Very comforting. Mm-hmm. I'm going with my Caps zip-up jacket that I wear a lot.
Is that a quarter zip or is it a full zip?
Oh, this is full zip. I thought when I bought it that I wouldn't like it because I'm not really a full zip guy. It's a full-on jacket.
Yeah.
I'm more of a quarter zip guy.
But it's actually a nice light jacket.
Very light. I wear it almost daily. And I prefer this now to a quarter zip because the quarter zip's got to go over your head inevitably. And it means like you're pulling it off while the shirt comes up. And
now it's weird.
Do that thing
the
where you
tug down.
Pull the shirt down. This is an unzip to take off and then like kind of finagle out of the arm situation.
Is it a jacket that's light enough that it makes that swishing when you move?
Windbreaker sound.
You know what I'm talking about? The windbreaker swish or the wind pant swish?
It's not made of that material.
Rub your two arms together by the mic. Let me hear it. Yeah, there's nothing.
Nothing.
That's nice. So it's heavier.
It's a cotton. You know, it almost feels more sweatery in a sense. It's not windbreaker material.
Right.
Which is, I don't know what you would call that, like that plastic.
Yeah,
feel.
Whatever that is.
It's not that.
It's not.
I really like this jacket. Really, really like it. And they did a cool thing yesterday. I was too impatient. One of my New Year's revolutions is to be more patient. So far, I'm not doing great.
How's that going?
not as well as I'd like.
Could you hurry up? I'm kidding. That was a patient bit.
But last night at the game, Justin Sordiff, who you sleep on, by the way, had a hat trick. First of his career. And they come over the loudspeaker. PA Wes Johnson immediately says, you know, in honor of Justin Sordiff's first ever NHL hat trick, the Capitals will be giving away, you know, 40% off all purchases of hats for the remainder of the night in the arena. All you've got to do is be here, you know, for the rest of tonight, 40% off. And it's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Basically half off, but everyone's throwing their hats on the ice. So it's more motivation to like throw your hat down there, whatever. So what did I do? As soon as the period ended, I went to the store to buy myself a Caps hat as if I needed another one of those.
Do you have any Caps hats? I feel like you do.
16 of those. However, I walk into the store to buy a Caps hat. Everyone else had the exact same idea right when the period ended. So the line was insane. It looked like Times Square at New Year's Eve. I was supposed to wear a diaper for some reason to just stand there so that I could get to the hat because I was going to be there for hours. And I just decided I'm not going to do this. So I didn't get my hat last night.
But so, did you throw a hat on the ice?
No, I didn't wear a hat last night.
Oh.
It's one of the few nights I've ever gone to a Caps game without wearing a hat.
I was going to say that you are, it's your uniform.
I recently got a haircut. I don't have a shampoo that I like right now, so that's why I'm wearing a hat today.
Okay.
I ran out of shampoo.
All right.
A little greasy looking hair. But I think my haircut is like the best I've gotten in a while.
Okay.
Probably can't tell right now.
Looks good to me.
I just took my hat off.
But I feel really good
about my haircut.
Yeah.
It took the longest it's ever taken me to get a haircut, and it was also the most expensive haircut I've ever had.
But it felt like precision.
The whole time I was in my mind like complaining, I'm like, this is taking too long. And then when I paid, I said, that is an outrageous amount. About 48 hours after the haircut, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm kind of like
the hair settles
it,
a little
and
bit.
I'm like, damn, this dude put on a clinic. I love this.
So was that again? Was that a call for, as a reminder to be more patient? Because you're sitting there going, "This is taking too long." True. And look at the results. We're good.
How long does it take you to get a haircut?
Not very long.
Take a guess. You sit down to when you walk out.
Well, I'm usually have my kids with me, so if it's just me, but if I just go straight to the chair, it's a 12-minute operation, probably.
Dude, so I was gonna say. Anything longer than 35 minutes feels like a marathon.
Yes, it does.
And I think 15 to 20 is a light, but in the 20 to 30 range with paying and walking out the door is very normal. If I'm in there for 40 minutes, that would be a long time.
I agree.
I was in the chair with him working on my head for over an hour.
Yeah, that is a long time. That's outrageous.
I literally texted my wife. Because it was one of those I got home, dropped my bag, and I'm like, hey, do I have time to try to get my hair cut?
Oh, totally, because there's something after this.
Exactly. So I just ran back out. It was over an hour, and I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but I'm still in the chair right now. Just so you know that I'm not somewhere else. Here's a picture of me in the chair. It was an hour and 5 minute haircut.
That is a long time.
And then they charged. Now, they did the beard as well, which there was a little miscommunication there. They asked, do you want me to do the beard? I didn't really want them to do the beard, but they did it anyway. And I loved how the beard looked. Now, I've since shaved it, so don't judge that
part. I was going to say, that's not what you
do. A whole other story.
Okay.
But they actually shaped my beard up beautifully. It was in a really good place as well. But the combination of the haircut and beard, what would you guess that would cost? With tip.
Around $100?
It was about almost $80.
Yeah. With a tip.
With a tip.
Oh, with okay.
I've never paid that much.
Really?
I go to like Floyd's 99 or a barbershop or whatever. Out the door with tip.
I feel like it's like 35 plus 35. They're doing usually around the same.
Maybe I don't normally do a shave or something. I think $60 is about as most as I've ever spent for hair stuff.
Yeah.
This was like 70 and change, and I'm like, what am I, my wife getting a haircut?
Here
like,
we go. Okay.
That is ridiculous.
Is that the price? Great.
But I felt good about it.
Sure. It looks nice.
What happened subsequently was I was cleaning up my beard. Felt like I loved the shape and how it looked. And my son came in. And he's like, can you shave my face too? And I'm like, yeah. And I put him up on the
sure thing, buddy. Yeah,
counter.
Yeah.
And I fake shave his face, whatever. He's like, can you shave your face off? You know, your face off? I don't know if he said that.
Yeah. Can you do that move with Nicolas Cage, please?
Yeah. Can you drop a puck and then have two guys compete for it to start a possession on the ice? He said, can you shave your beard? I want to see what you look like without a beard. And that, like that was enough. I was just like, sure, no problem. And I just started shaving it. And then afterwards, I'm like, why did I do that?
Now you're committed for a while.
My wife's like, that's all? That was the whole thing? That's why you shaved for the first time in like a year and a half? And I'm like, yeah, that was dumb. It was just in the moment he caught me in like a curious
moment.
Well, it's
not like he sat there and watched the entire time. He probably got bored and went somewhere else.
No, he actually did. He's like, oh my gosh, now do a mustache. And he was like standing there.
Oh, he was into it?
It was like entertaining.
Well, that's fine then. Yeah, then exactly. I think that's a win. But yeah. But let me get back to the hat thing. Didn't you once not throw your hat on the ice and, like, got some air clack for it?
That did happen.
Because the expectation is, because I remember this last time I'm watching the game. So I'm at home watching. You're at the arena watching, right?
Was it an Ovi hattie too? It had to have been. So I just bought a hat that day. In fact, it was the previous intermission. So like after the end of the first period, I think Ovi had a goal or two. Yeah. I bought a hat for $50. And that's what they cost now, like good hats at an arena.
It's a hat.
It's like $48 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I buy the hat, and then I walk down the steps, and I plop down, and he finishes the hat trick in that next 20 minutes. And everyone's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
I just got it.
I literally just spent $50 on this. So I'm just not throwing that on the ice.
Right.
Respectfully.
But the reason I bring it up is as sort of scores, you get, you know, the guys, I mean, the barn door opens, and here come the skating guys that are picking up the hats. And, you know, cutting to the crowd, people are standing and cheering. And there's one guy that's wearing a hat. And it never crosses his mind to take that hat and throw it. And he's within throwing distance of the ice.
While he was skating around?
No.
Or you're just seeing the video?
The dude in the crowd, yeah. And I'm going, is he gonna catch something?
There were a lot of people around me that didn't throw theirs. I wanted to kind of do a little joning and ask him, like, dude, what are you doing? But, that's a tough decision. Everyone's got to make that decision.
And where you go, like you could do your bit, you go, hey, is your arm okay? Like, can you not throw? Like, what's wrong?
One more quick hat thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember the hat that I wear a lot that says Capitals upside down and backwards that I don't like?
You don't wear it a lot, but I know it. Yeah.
I wore it. It was in the rotation.
Yeah.
The last time I wore it, you were out. I was filling in with Linnell from my basement on camera. It came up on the show. He was talking about how much he liked it. I was like, I really don't like this hat. So we got into this big thing about it. Well, that night, my wife wants Five Guys. So I go pick up Five Guys to bring it home for her. And I walk into Five Guys, and the dude behind the counter is like, dude, I love that hat. I'm like, you're kidding me. I keep telling people, like, I really don't like it. It's upside down. It's backwards. I don't understand it. Huh. Whatever. Oh, it's so awesome. He's like, can I have it? I'm like, if you want it. He's like, I'll give you a milkshake for it. I said, yeah, gladly. So he traded me a milkshake, which I don't do milkshakes, but my wife gets a milkshake. And I gave him the hat. So
a milkshake for hat straight up.
Chocolate milkshake for the Caps hat that I didn't really like that much. So I'm out of hat, even though I didn't throw a hat on the ice for Justin Sortif.
That seems kind of reckless. You just went for it in that trade. Could you have held out for something else? You get your meal comp there?
That's a good point. Could I have gotten the burger out of it?
Milkshake's like $6.99, I think. They're delicious. I love them. But
this was like 2 weeks ago this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So like a couple of nights ago, I'm going to pick her up a poke bowl. And I was like, where's the Caps hat? She's like, why? What's going on? I'm like, just in case they'll give me the poke bowl.
I was
going to
think of this for free.
Hat.
Yeah.
It's going to be my new bit. Like every time I come home, no hat, but I've got whatever food you want.
By the way,
I
got to get you on board with the milkshake. It is just a wheelhouse thing.
It's a consistency thing. I don't want to fight so hard to get the stuff to come through the straw.
You're thinking more of a Frosty. That's with the spoon. The milkshake just goes right up there.
Frosties are fantastic.
Yeah, that's just basically a cup of ice cream or a drink container of ice cream.
That's what I want. I want my ice cream frozen. I hate melted ice cream. When I'm eating ice cream in a bowl or in a cup, when it starts to melt, it's terrible and I hate it. I don't want the liquidy ice cream. I want frozen ice cream, as you know. It's like when it starts to melt, I'll put it in the freezer and wait until it hardens.
Re-harden it. Re-James it.
Absolutely. Mm. This whole like scooping the bowl to get the liquid out where it's like now milk on your spoon.
Oh, yeah.
Zero chance I'm doing that.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, but she seemed to really like apparently they had a really good milkshake.
Milkshakes at Five Guys are outstanding. Outstanding.
They've got it on the sign. Like it says burgers, fries, milkshake. So it better be pretty good.
Yeah, it's one of the three. And like them and their competitor, probably Shake Shack. It's right there in the name. Doesn't even say burger at Shake Shack. It says shake. That's what we do.
You know what's funny is I've never even considered that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like what about Shake Shack says burger to you? Now we know the burgers are outstanding.
Oh, I think there's got to be a burger logo.
No, there is. But it's to let you know we have that too. But like that's how it starts is, listen, man. We're going to do some awesome shakes. You can get a smash burger too, but we do shakes.
We'll go rapid fire on the phones to end the show. People have been waiting here in a minute. 800-636-1067. We'll talk more about the desirability of the OC job for Washington in a moment, but I want to get into that for just a second because I've gone back and forth on this. I think that this coordinator job replacing Cliff Kingsbury is one that will be immensely desirable because you get to work with Jaden Daniels, who last year had one of the great rookie seasons ever and who is considered going into the season a top half of the league quarterback still, I think. You know, where would you say he would rank on a 1 to 32 among projected starters for next year?
Yeah, in terms of a desirability scale or potential ceiling scale?
Just Daniels, yeah. I would say like in the 14 to 16 range or something, probably.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
But with upside, way beyond that.
Oh, if we're talking ceiling and like dream on them becoming the best version of themselves, now he's in the 5 to 7 range.
Exactly. And that's why it's so appealing to me.
So that's a hugely easily sellable role then. But you are coming into a building where Dan Quinn is on a warming seat, where you're dealing with a defensive-minded guy who moved on from an OC after 2 years who had some legitimate success over basically disagreeing on how he ran his offense, which is my side of the building, not yours, if you're an offensive mind. Like, that's not that desirable. You're going to go sign up to work with the defensive-minded coach who got upset with the offensive-minded guy because he didn't run the ball enough or whatever? Like, I don't love that. And, oh, by the way, ask Eric Bieniemy how it works when you go in to work with someone who's on a warming seat that might be in trouble if things don't go well. If they get fired, you might get fired, and you look worse. Next thing you know, you're in your third job in 3 years, and the way your view changes.
That's interesting. I wonder, think about it this way. Like, Clint Kubiak is as hot an offensive name as there is in the sport. It's not as if he was unbelievable with Sam Darnold, turning him into an MVP candidate. I mean, you're talking about a guy that they ran at first. He was a 25-14 quarterback this year. Talking about Darnold, very middle of the pack in terms of stats, but it's a buzzsaw of a team. They're awesome. Defense is great. They played complimentary football, et cetera. He's a hot name. So maybe
top 10 offense, and Darnold had a hell of a year.
And maybe you go this way. You go, if we're good, then it doesn't matter specifically the quarterback stats if I've got to hand it off maybe more than I want to. I can sort of acquiesce there and run it for 3.9 yards a pop because that makes Mike McDonald happy, right? Thinking of the reverse here.
But you're the one seed. You're 14-3 if you're Clint Kubiak.
Yeah.
And that's part of why you're getting that gig. And also, Darnold, I mean, he had a Pro Bowl caliber season. Like, he had a really good year. I think he completed close to 70% of his passes. That offense hummed. They were top five for much of the year in terms of efficiency and finished top 10. So you better have some success, too. But obviously, if you're coming here to work with Daniels, you would fully anticipate that you would. I just wonder, there's no doubt that it's a 10 out of 10 desirability based on who the quarterback is. How much of that gets taken away by the coaching
situation? By the context? Yeah.
And like your year three, make it or break it, if it starts slowly, if their schedule comes out, I don't remember who they play in front of me, but like let's say it's something like the first 3 weeks are Rams, 49ers, Vikings or something, and they're 0-3. I mean, like, is Dan Quinn on the hot seat?
Is that that? Yeah.
Are they possibly firing him at 1-4 Jay Gruden style or whatever? And now what? Let's go to the phones, though, and start with Ford, who's in Florida, listening on the Odyssey app. Ford. Should Jaden Daniels be involved in the OC hiring moving forward?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First, I answer your question, then I want to ask you guys a question. I agree with you, Grant, that I think he should not be involved in the ultimate decision, but he should have input. You know, I think that's makes sense to me, pretty much common sense to me. But my question to you guys, and this is bothering me a little bit today, is do you think that this move has put our ability to sign him to an extension after year three at risk?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's so far away, first of all, that you're talking about, is it possible that as soon as a year from now they're negotiating and getting something done? Yes, if the year goes well enough. But if that were to happen, that you'd be doing it next year, he will have played at a level that he's now got a pretty good rapport with whoever you brought in here.
Uh-huh.
Also, money talks. You know, you can like Cliff Kingsbury just fine. If they end up extending him, it's because there's more good football coming and he stayed healthy and he flourished. So everybody won anyway. And you're putting a $200 million contract in front of him, or maybe more, $300 million or whatever that looks like.
That's right.
All of a sudden, maybe I'm not as annoyed as I once was that you didn't keep the guy that I liked the most 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is not a deposit in the relationship bank, the actions, you know, yesterday and today. It's not. It's a withdrawal in some capacity. How major a withdrawal it is, it's all going to depend on what happens from here on out. I mean, they've been pretty, you know, thoughtful of him, inclusive of him, talking about Daniels, in terms of, you know, we're not rushing you back. We are going to make sure that you are 100% healthy. We know that you're beating your head against the wall, but your best interests are on our forefront here. Even though we're fighting for our seasons, this is all going bad. And when the season goes bad, people are going to lose their jobs. We are not going to rush you back a microsecond before you're ready to go. Those kind of deposits matter as much or more, potentially, when you're talking about the balance sheet, than maybe losing the OC that you like, who also maybe wasn't that excited to stay here anyway.
Jeff's in Fredericksburg on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
I do agree that Jaden should have some input. Like everybody's been saying, I'm not quite sure how much weight you put on that. But my real question now becomes, how do we view his progression with a new OC Now he's basically starting over.
Meaning Daniels with a new offense.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this today, and this is one of my concerns. I mean, partially, when I say I wouldn't have fired Cliff Kingsbury and I would bring him back for year three, the biggest reason for that is his rapport with Daniels and the fact that Daniels knows the offense really well. Now, I would need to get through to him to make some of the changes that are necessary for me if I'm Grant Quinn here, meaning we're going to be under center a little more, we're going to be in the gun a little less, we're going to go no huddle a little less, we're going to do a couple of more traditional, like Shanahan-esque things offensively. And if he's not amenable to that and he's just completely rigid and he's no interest in doing any of that, okay, now we can have a conversation where maybe he's out. I can't imagine he's not willing to make any changes at all, but this is the point for me, is I don't want to put Daniels in a situation where he's got to learn a new offense and they got to have it make or break it year. And that is 100% what is happening here. And it's not just learning a new offense, which isn't impossible, but it's going to be a very different offense very likely, because Cliff's is so unique and so different and so one of a kind. You're going to go from like a standalone college-like offense to now the transition that you often make going into your first year. You know, think about like what Caleb Williams went through this camp, right, when it looked terrible, or at times where he's missing these throws and some of these things with Ben Johnson. Like, that should normally happen, the learning the NFL stuff, the drop back from under center, the footwork, all that. That's like a year one thing.
Yeah, you go from doing nothing but clapping the snap to the opposite of that.
And
right?
Now it might be what he majors in year three, with all the pressure of not having had a really good year in year two when he was on the field and trying to stay healthy and trying to prove that he can get back to playing at an elite level. So it does put a lot of pressure on his plate. It makes things more complicated for him. There's no doubt. Ricky in Waldorf on the Fan. What's good?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Long-time listener. Never called before. Concerning this situation with the OC. Look, we all have opinions. And most of the time, our opinions are unsolicited. So anything that got said prior to this decision, there's no problem with it. But now these gentlemen are professionals, and it's what happens after this decision's been made. Do people focus in and, okay, well, the deciderers are thinking this is best for the team, or am I going to gripe about it and complain? That would be unprofessional. So, yeah, he might be upset that his guy is gone, but, you know, okay, I've made that clear. The guy in charge is making a change, and I play for the guy in charge. So really, in my opinion, it should sort of end right there.
It's a good point, honestly.
Yeah, it goes similar hand in hand. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening. To my general view, when people are talking about, or I always talk about, when you're out of it, when the season's over, let's play some of the young kids some, right? And everybody always comes back with, how do you look people in the eye? How do you tell them, you know, the veterans? I say, easy, do your job. It's part of the gig. It's a tough business. It's miserable. It's awful. It's cutthroat. Show up and work hard and do what you're asked to do. And, you know, so will the next guy, et cetera. It kind of goes hand in hand with that, where it's okay to feel some type of way. That is, feelings are fine. What you do about it is what matters, of course, right? Where I can be upset about a decision, but it doesn't mean I get to pout on the show all day or whatever, right? This is part of being a pro. This is going to happen again, by the way, multiple times. It happens to every quarterback, where something that you want to happen does not happen when the season goes to bleep.
Let's go to Dennis in Reston on G&D. Dennis, thanks for hopping aboard. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call.
Got it, bud.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. To answer the main topic right now, should Jaden have an opinion on the next offensive coordinator hire? I've never really heard of that, but having said that, that doesn't really mean a lot. If it's something that they normally do, to especially with an experienced seasoned QB, I'll buy that. He can at least have an opinion on the hire. But really the main reason I called, and I've tried calling in like all day long to this phone number to try to get an opinion in on this letting Cliff Kingsbury go. You know, and Grant, I agree with you, man. I agree with you. I think, or at least I think your opinion is that they should have kept Cliff for at least one more year. Because, like, man, I'm all about continuity, okay? And if a technician or any kind of a professional does not have his tools to do a job, you're not going to get your job done properly. And our injury deal last year was so catastrophic that I don't give a damn who you are. You could be Vince damn Lombardi, and you're not going to recover from that, man. So I think they should have given Cliff one more year. And if the guys on the offensive line, and there's some people on our offense right now that are upset about that, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And I know that these guys are pros, and they make their decisions, and that's just the way it goes. You know, hiring and firing, I understand it. But continuity is very important, especially with a young QB.
Well, like when you got – and I appreciate the phone call. Yes, we celebrated it last year when the whole coaching staff came back. Continuity is great if you're the Spurs with Tim Duncan and company. Continuity is awesome if you're the Patriots going to the AFC title game every year, et cetera. It's not always great when the bottom falls out and changes are probably warranted.
Yeah, they went from 5th to 22nd in efficiency on offense, but they were 12th in yards per play. It wasn't all bad. To me, I just think the results over 2 years do not suggest firing someone.
Yeah, I would have kept him for the record.
And I have voiced my displeasures about this scheme and this offense off and on over 2 seasons,
yeah,
and specifically over this year for sure. I have many areas that I think this offensive scheme for Cliff is deficient in and that I don't love. It's just not my favorite. It's not what I would want to run. I wouldn't have hired Cliff two years ago necessarily. As amazing as last year was, again, I'll admit, I would have been wrong. But now that he's here, now that he's been here 2 years, now that you're going into this got to have it third year with Jaden Daniels, it's just a really bold time to go in a different direction and to pivot. I think it makes Jaden Daniels' offseason in life a little bit harder. You're putting a lot more on his plate, and you're betting big that he's going to make you look good. And this hiring of this next OC becomes not only the biggest move that they're going to have to make, but maybe one of the biggest moves of the entire NFL offseason. In fact, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN essentially said as much, said that this is going to be one of the biggest NFL decisions of this entire hiatus, this Commanders hiring.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Cliff Kingsbury left Washington. Now we'll see why, if that comes out. Is he going to become a head coach? Obviously, that would be a different conversation. But if he's leaving just to leave, this is a pretty significant move for Washington. Mm. And I would tell you that it's now the most pivotal decision that will be made in the NFL when it comes to the offseason and what the 2026 season looks like.
Whoa. How about that? The most pivotal decision in the NFL this offseason, he thinks. Maybe.
It's up there. I mean, it's initially sounds like hyperbole, but then you go, actually, it kind of makes sense.
Well, Daniel's upside, the fact that they were in the Final Four last year and then fell off, and they're trying to get back there. Pretty amazing. We'll be talking about this, some other angles to cover, including the desirability for much of the day tomorrow on The Fan. Some quick headlines out of the NFL today include John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens fired this afternoon. So now 7 openings among head coaches. Johnny Morton, the offensive coordinator with the Lions, has been dismissed as well. And the Falcons have reworked Kirk Cousins' deal. Big decision looming there. Presumably they will release him at some point this offseason. Harbaugh, by the way, you called that you thought the Giants would be a fit. I like Stefanski for them. According to Adam Schefter 15 minutes ago, Harbaugh is expected to emerge as a favorite for the head coaching job with the Giants. He'll be in demand via other teams as well.
There you go. By the way, Diana Rossini posited that there are some who are telling her that Cliff Kingsbury might be a great fit in Baltimore.
With Lamar Jackson.
With Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
Yes, it would.
4, our producers behind the scenes, Metal and Darius and Toby, Grant and Danny, saying so long and thanking you guys for listening. We are back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.